Welcome to the Fuller Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Tuesday, the 14th of May, recording at 9:24 p.m., and that's British Summer Time. Now, let's have a quick look at what's happening here on another extremely interesting day. The stock market tone is generally firm. Japan, which has been on such a tear, just eased back a tiny bit, and also China was a little bit easier, and that pulled the Hang Seng down, but not much, quarter of a point. The Shanghai Composite was down over 1%, though, and across those mainland China indices, about 1.25% on average. Now, elsewhere, though, we had some good gains, including South Korea up over 1%, Philippines up 0.7%. Basically, all of these ASEAN leaders, and that's the Philippines, it's Malaysia, which has come on strong again since the election. It's India as well, and Indonesia. These are all firm, pushing to or very near new all-time high ground, and somewhat overextended relative to their 200-day moving averages. Now, in Europe, we had a steadier tone in here today. Best gain appears to be the Italian market, up 0.84 of a percent. But a good solid day here, including the UK market, which is up 54 points, and that's 0.82 of a percent. And the Euro Stoxx 50 index is it's just edged to a new recovery high on this move. So that all looks really quite positive. Now, Wall Street put in a stellar performance in here today. The S&P up over 1%. Excuse me. The Dow 0.82%. NASDAQ 0.7%. Canada, Mexico, and Brazil had modest, more modest gains overall. Now, as a consequence of these gains, though, I mentioned that the ASEAN indices were overextended relative to their 200-day moving averages. Well, so is the Dow and the S&P 500 index. And these overextensions relative to the 200-day MAs by the Dow and the S&P are probably, well, they've certainly equaled previous high extensions that we've seen over the last 4 years during the bull market phase that started, of course, in the second quarter in 2009. And my short-term concern is that there is a bit of a consensus out there in the marketplace that the Fed, which has a wide open policy on QE this time, you know, previously its QE policies were dated. In other words, the Fed announced the end date of the QE policy in advance, and they decided not to do that anymore because that led to some market turbulence. People would play the market on the long side when the QE policy began and then start to cut back sharply as they knew that it was expiring. So the Fed has an open-ended policy at this stage. But what concerns me, as I say, is a consensus that some investors think that, well, this is going to run for a couple of years, and that's good bull market talk stuff here, and that just makes people a little bit more aggressive. Now, the U.S. economy is gradually recovering. It's on schedule, in line with that 5 to 7 years following a credit crisis that I've mentioned on a number of occasions in these audios previously. But we're getting a bit of short-term overheating here in the stock market. It's not excessive, but it's still increasing at this stage, and that's got the QE behind it. It's got some reasonable economic data, a cessation of worries over Europe. And of course, on the U.S. indices, so the Dow and the S&P, all the U.S. indices, they're in new all-time highs, except perhaps in the NASDAQ, where the new all-time high goes way back, I think, 2000. Now, what I think we can conclude, or what I conclude from this, is that a bit of exuberance in here will be of some concern to the Fed. And if not, but I think it's very likely that it will, but if not, the better Wall Street actually performs, the more likely that is to result in an initial reduction in the amount of QE that's being provided. And that's something that the stock market is certainly not expecting at this stage. So I'd be a little careful in here. I wouldn't be throwing out any of the quality shares unless they are quite overextended relative to their 200-day moving averages, because they will revert to the mean over the medium term, as you know. I think the market's getting a little bit ahead of itself here, and it may well get further ahead of itself, and that would spark some sort of comment, I think, by the Fed. One thing that they could do is, for instance, is reduce the amount, the $85 billion a month that they're pumping into the market. They might chop that back to $70-75 billion, but any change in that strategy is not going to be a more bullish change with the markets running on the upside like this and the economy not doing badly. It would be interpreted as a negative and would push the market into at least a reaction and consolidation and possibly a correction. Now, moving on to other markets here, the bond market softer in here today across the boards, with stock markets really quite strong. The 30-year bond is down, futures are down a full point. And the dollar's been very firm in here. Remember, it had rolled over. It hit a high a couple of months ago and then sort of rolled over. But gave up maybe a quarter of its gains. But it surged back up through the highs of a couple of months ago. Now, other currency developments in here. The Japanese renminbi is quite firm overall, but I think that's influenced by the dollar somewhat, and I don't think the Chinese would want it to get a whole lot stronger from here, at least not in the short term. The Australian dollar has eased further. And it's come down to 0.9894, so it's just below 99 against the U.S. dollar. Sterling, I think that's where the euro first. The euro is a little bit weaker here at 129.38 against the dollar. And sterling, when I find it, is at 152.25. So again, the big story here among currencies is a strong dollar, and then the other big story among the currencies is the very weak yen. And the weak yen has put it to the other way around. The dollar has rallied to 102.29. That's a new high for the dollar against the yen. We've had 8 consecutive months of weaker yen, albeit starting from an incredibly overbought level, as you as you will almost certainly know. Now, I think that this additional weakness by the yen and the close that we've seen on Wall Street here tonight, that's going to propel, I suspect, the Japanese stock market closer to the Nikkei psychological level of 15,000. It's currently at 14,758. So, you know, we're less than 250 points from that psychological level. Sometimes markets pause and react around those large psychological levels, and I wouldn't be surprised if that happened on the with the Nikkei, especially as it's a little bit short-term overbought. But this remains, in my opinion, the most interesting major market play here for this year, and it's certainly leading substantially on overall performance. Now, in commodities, interesting development here. We've got gold easing a bit. It's off its lows today, but it has slipped over $5 to $14.25. Silver is also down 30 cents, $23.39. But palladium is stronger, $7.30. That's up over $11. And we also had platinum firmer, up over 1500, 1501, nearly 1502, that's up 17 on the day. The industrial metals, however, are soft. Now, they'd had a rally. They established some lows last month or in the beginning of May, and saw some reasonable rallies led by copper. But copper had a bit of a downward dynamic in here today. That was down 6.8 cents to, that brings it back to 329. And so that's checked the rally in copper. And the other industrial metals, somewhat weaker. And so they've been drifting back, and some of them, like aluminium, getting quite close to their lows overall. So the sector is still seriously out of favor, and the main reason for that is because of China's shift in emphasis from massive infrastructure building to consumer demand. And the obvious point, and I've made this before, if you do anything in China, and that's not a bad idea overall because the market's attractively valued, but you play the consumer sector side of the Chinese market. I continue to do that through the healthcare sector, as you probably recall. And what about these miners, though? What's going to happen? Well, they're fairly depressed here overall. They're on cheap valuations, and they're cutting back production somewhat in here. And I think they'll get a run to the upside before this bull market in stock markets generally ends. And they're back into those traditional roles that they have of being a highly cyclical lagging sector that gets usually gets a late run. How might that happen? Well, there are plenty of other people and plenty of other countries that use these metals, and the global economy is gradually improving here. And it's of course a much more broadly diversified global economy in terms of the countries that are generating growth. You know, we Westerners tend to think just about the deep recession, you could call it depression, that you see in much of Europe, to the very slow growth that we see in most other developed economies. A number of these Asian economies, although they aren't growing as fast as they were, say, back in 2011, they're doing pretty well overall. So there's going to be plenty of demand for these commodities in the short, medium, and longer term, in my opinion. And on that note, all the very best to all of you.